Okay, let's recap a little bit our story from yesterday and where we left off. So we were trying to figure out where tefillah comes from and where our tefillah comes from. And we saw that there's somewhat of a confusion, perhaps, because we're given a few possibilities, separate from the question of how much of it is Minhag Torah and the whole debate between the Rambam and most other Rishonim, most notably the Ramban, but others also, whether there's any daily obligation of tefillah Minhag Torah. But even going beyond that and recognizing that we deal with a rabbinic obligation of tefillah, but still understanding how that unfolds is a little bit mysterious, because the Gemara has two opinions as to what is the basis for our even rabbinic obligation of tefillah, whether it is inspired by the Avos, each one of them credited with one of our three daily tefillos, Avram's Shacharis and Yitzchak's Mincha and Yaakov's Maariv, or do we say that Keneged Tmidin, Keneged Karbanos Tiknum? And the conclusion might be a satisfying everybody kind of splitting the difference, and that originally there was the contribution of the Avos, and the Anshei Knesset HaGedola came and were koveit based on the Karbanos. But what that means for us practically requires a lot of explanation. So it's easy to not realize just how vague a concept that is, because what does it mean for the Avos to contribute tefillos if it's not the obligation and it's not the text, it's not anything we can point to so clearly? So what exactly is it? And that's what we started to explore. So the idea that on one level the chiluk is, as expressed by the Shita Mekubetzes and as implicit in the Rambam, that the Avos gave us the tefillos as a concept, and the Anshei Knesset HaGedola set it down as an obligation. So yes, that's certainly understandable, and that certainly makes sense for a lot of reasons, but still requires more, because first of all, we still don't know what that means for the Avos to give us tefillah if it doesn't mean the words and it doesn't mean the obligation. It's also noteworthy, and I think we touched upon this a little bit yesterday, but one reason why you have to say something like that is because the Avos don't really have authority to obligate us in anything. And that's a whole broader Torah question. And I meant to put this on the Makaris this morning, just a little background, but you can look at it tomorrow. There's a Rambam in the Perish HaMishnayis in Chulin. You familiar with this, where he talks about Gidhan Nasha? And he discusses the fact that even though the Torah seems to say explicitly in Parshas Vayishlach, after the whole incident with Yaakov and the Malach, and it sounds like it's saying, okay, this is why we don't eat the Ganasha now. But still, says the Rambam, you should understand that it doesn't mean that is why, in the sense of we have a mitzvah from then. That all the mitzvahs that we observe are from Har Sinai, and anything that we do only comes because the Torah was commanded then, and there's no notion of a commandment before then. So, meaning that this is a whole Torah question in terms of the whole transmission of mitzvos. So, the Avos don't have authority to command us to do things, and the whole transmission of Torah really starts only as a commandment later. Yes, sir?
What about those mitzvos that were commanded to Moshe before Har Sinai?
Like so, what?
Like
right. So, what you see is what Misinai means specifically is a fair question. That's actually not 100% clear, and it's actually also much more mysterious than it seems. But for our purposes, let's say, at least when you have Am Yisrael, so at least, let's say, from Achodesh Hazeh Lachem, from Yetzias Mitzrayim. But before that, so you don't have a concept of Klal Yisrael and Mitzvos. So we don't have a Sivoy from before that. So this is something that the Rambam spells out, in the context of Gidhan Dasha and his Peirushan Mishnayos. And it sounds like actually the Gemara in Chulin is taking up that topic, and I can give you that to look at. So you need something like that here also, because the concept of the Avos inaugurating Tfilos is going to not be able to obligate us. So you'll need that extra step anyway. So the idea that the Avos made the Tfilos and yet the Chiyuv comes from somewhere else would, for its own systematic reasons, need to be there anyway, because they don't obligate us in anything, the Avos. And if you look at what the Rambam lists there in Hilchos Melachim, they gave you yesterday, there are other things that they brought into the world, such as Maisers and the like. And Bris Milah is very also evocative. But still, again, the mitzvah doesn't come from there. The concept is brought into the world. The mitzvah comes from the Tzivoy to Klal Yisrael later. So Sheva Mitzvos is also interesting. And there's a notion of all of humanity being commanded, and Klal Yisrael being commanded in those same ideas separately. And also, that may mean differences. So it gets into all kinds of interesting details. So it has implications for Shechita, and there are all kinds of interesting applications of the fact that even within the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach, the applications to the Jews are different because it was renewed in the instruction at Sinai. So that's also an interesting discussion. But I think there's also something there that's a little bit missing. And if you look at the Tshuvas Onei Gantiv, for example, in Ayin Vav, so he has, the Onei Gantiv is the classic Achron, the Pshner of Lublin. So in Tshuvas in Ayin Vav, he has a discussion about Gidhan Dasha. And in the last paragraph, he talks about our Gemara and about Avos Tiknum, Tfilos Avos Tiknum. And he says that that's, again, the reason. Because since the whole story the Rambam has, by Gidhan Dasha, and we can't have a Tzivoy from the Avos, at least according to the opinion that the Rambam teaches us. So that may be related to why it's a machlokes in the Gemara over here. But at least that explains that view. And that's why even what the Avos did is not going to translate to a Tzivoy for us. And therefore, you need the other view of Keneged Karbanos Tikkun. However, I think there's still something missing in that sentence. Can anyone identify what's bothering me? I'll restate it if you want and tell me if you can see what's missing. Since the Avos are not able to command us, so you needed Chazal to step in later and inaugurate the Karbanos, Keneged the Tfilos, Keneged the Karbanos. Yes, sir. Exactly, right? That, why don't we say that, okay, you need Chazal to make the Tekana, but where the Karbanos have to come in? Is that what you wanted to say?
No.
Okay.
We're, Hashem is kovel is banning, midoraisa, mm-hmm. How do you put that on Chazal?
Okay, so that's another interesting question. So what is the significance of this matter? So that opens up a whole other interesting issue, and that's something we'll see a little bit today. But in general, in terms of the mechanics of dinim derabanan, so we have, first of all, a principle called kol d'tikun rabanan kein deraisa tiknu, that Chazal work within a Torah system overall. So usually when they make mitzvos, they try to pattern themselves after Torah mitzvos that existed beforehand. And that has itself a lot of different applications. But that starts off from a foundation of existing Torah ideas, and that may express itself here also. But you're right that there's something to call attention there as well. So why do we need the Torah premise of the Karbanos? But that's maybe really the same question. It's the other half of the same question.
I was going to say the opposite. Why do we need the Rabbanon premise of the Karbanos if we have the Torah premise of it?
Except that that doesn't create a chiyuv of tefila, or does it?
If you thought the Mishalafar was supposed to say here.
Okay, so is that a chiyuv though? There's the Shalom Parnas Fosein who create a chiyuv that when there's no korbanos, so then there is a Gemara, right? There's a Gemara in Megillah and in Tainus, appears in both places, that Avraham Avinu has a conversation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that when it says, Bama'ida Kiarishana, it sounds a little bit chutzpedik, that Avram asks God, how do I know that the Jews are going to inherit the land? So, what do you mean, what do I know? God said, they're going to inherit the land, so why is he asking? So the Gemara says that the reason he's asking is because he's concerned that his descendants may someday be less than perfect, and maybe something will happen that they will lose their rights to inherit the land. And then what? So how will I know that they're going to be secure? So Kadosh Baruch Hu responds, don't worry, they'll bring korbanos, and they will atone. And to that, God says, that Avram says to God, well, that all sounds very well and good, as long as there's a Beis HaMikdash where they can bring korbanos, so then they'll have that path. But what if there isn't a Beis HaMikdash? So then what? So then, we're taught that we have to replace the korbanos with our mouths. Now, what that means, actually, is not obvious either, because does that create a chiyuv tefillah? Neshama parnas foseinu, or possibly learning about the korbanos. So in other words, every morning we recite korbanos, and that actually has important practical applications. This is totally theoretical, but let's say, for example, in some fictional world, somebody were to come late for davening. Again, I know that doesn't happen really, but let's just pretend that it was possible. So one would have to decide what to cut in order to stay with the tzibur. So most people seem to assume that the korbanos are not so significant. By Isaac Bernstein, Zichrono Lebracha, was a famous darshan. He said, the reason they call them korbanos is because they're the first thing to be sacrificed. So Rav Schechter often points out that that seems to be a bad calculation, because if you have to choose between Psukei Dezimra and the korbanos, so Psukei Dezimra doesn't seem to be an actual requirement. The Gemara has the line, Shalolim Hechalkim Gomri Halo B'Choyom, that it sounds like a maila to say, that's something to aspire to, it's not an actual obligation. But the korbanos, based on that Gemara, so that's really necessary. So in the absence of a Beis HaMikdash, that's what keeps our merit going. We have to learn about the korbanos. So to skip that, that seems to be a worse plan. Now, theoretically, it's still possible to do both, because even if you're late, you could fill in the korbanos later. It doesn't mean you actually have to necessarily do it that minute. But the idea of sacrificing the korbanos seems to be a mistake, given the emphasis that the Gemara puts on it. So when we say, Neshama Parnas Foseinu creates a chiyuv, does that mean it creates a chiyuv to learn about the korbanos? Or does that mean that tefillah becomes a inherent obligation because of the lack of korbanos? So that's an important question to keep in mind also. But here, so the idea that because Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov are not in a position to obligate us, not just because of who they were or weren't, but because that wasn't what Klal Yisrael was at yet. There's no chiyuv before Matan Torah, loosely defined. So then we need a later stage. So when we're talking about Mitzvah Daraisa, so then yes, Mitzvah Daraisa started Sinai. But here, if we're assuming tefillah, at least a three-time daily tefillah, is not a Daraisa, it's Darabanan, so the later stage is the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. So we need them. Okay, fine, we need them. But still, why do we need them to look to the korbanos? Let them come in and say, Keneged the Avos who gave us the tefillah, we now formally legislate that this should be done. Yes, sir.
Why can't the Avos be Chazal? Like, if you're saying that tefillah, can you say that tefillah is derabanan and the rabbis who instituted it were the Avos?
All right, so that's a great question, Bechlal. Where does rabbinic authority come from in the first place? Which is a great topic. you want, I can sell you a sefer over there, because that will stop us from talking about anything else today. But that's a great question. The short answer is, whatever the answer to the question is, it's not going to include Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. So, happy to talk about it privately, happy to get a sefer over there to look at it in more detail. But, however, you have to first answer that question of where rabbinic authority comes from, and why we're obligated to listen to Din HaDerabbanan. And whatever the answer is, it's a big stretch, beyond a big stretch, to say that it should apply to the Avos. So whatever the Avos did, it didn't translate to a Chiyuv. Fine. So Chazal had to come and, with the power vested in them, create a Chiyuv. But still, who needs the Korbanos? So that's still something we need to explain.
You know, are you other ideas of davening, like Zmanim? And if you can't live in the Avos?
Well, are they completely disconnected from the idea of Zmanim? That's what we started to explore yesterday. Right? So what does the Avos teach us? Right? They don't teach us text, and they don't teach us obligation. So we started to explore, what is it that they do teach us? So that's actually where we left off yesterday. So it's something a little bit more abstract, perhaps. And what exactly it is requires definition, especially in light of what we've seen here. So we've seen that we know the Avos gave us something, and we don't know what it is. And we know that the Korbanos gave us something, and we need to know what that is. And it doesn't seem to be enough to say that it's the Chiyuv, because why can't we have the Chiyuv without that? Yes, the Avos can't provide the Chiyuv, but why can't the Chazal provide the Chiyuv on their behalf and on their inspiration? So filling in those parts requires some theorizing. And the nature of the Avos part especially is probably abstract to a greater degree. We mentioned how the Maharal said that it is Dvar Mamukim, the Yoser. These are things that are especially deep. And we noted his explanation that there's a certain merit that each tefillah brings, a certain zchus, whether it's getting up early or pushing off the time you want to go to sleep, shachar and maariv, or mincha is interrupting your day when you're making a living. And we noted how, as the Dibur Tzvi points out, each one of the psukim seems to contain that in the pasuk itself. And then you had your suggestion yesterday that we should look at the context of what's going on. And that also might tell us something about the tefillah. So I indicated that the Dibur Magid has a similar approach, but his maybe counterintuitive approach was different than as you would put it, and I was more sympathetic to the way you put it, but nonetheless, just the way the Dibur Magid notes. So the context of Avram praying for stone, which has always been a source of inspiration for us as a people, that Avram did that, and if you read the Hakdama of the Netziv to Sefer Bereishis, it's a very often quoted and fascinating Hakdama, and what exactly moved Avram to speak out on behalf of people who were not only not his family, but who lived by a value system that undermined everything that he was trying to teach. So there's a tremendous inspiration there of a specific type. But either way, he was not personally threatened. So what the Dibur Magid suggests is that the tefillah that Avram represents is a tefillah of somebody who is getting ahead of things, getting out in front of situations. So there is not yet a threat, and that's a mila, the establishing of a relationship before there is a crisis. And when you are on that level, so then the tefillah doesn't have to be that intense. So all you have there is ein amido ela tefillah. He just has to stand there, because the tefillah just has to be about that relationship, because you're not trying to necessarily turn over your own fate. And if you assume that that's the message here, that Avram represents this kind of a tefillah, where you are just establishing a relationship before there's a crisis, so then that's one level. And then, this is where I said there was an overlap between the way you put it and the way that Maggid put it. So Yitzchak, it's a different level. Now his mother had passed away. He's got a little bit more ambiguity in his life. So there's a tefillah of a little bit more crisis or needs. So that's the next level of tefillah. And that's not just Amida, Ve'yetze Yitzchak Lasuach. That's a sicha. That's a conversation already. Then to something that's a little bit more give and take. And then you get to Yaakov. So Yaakov, this is really a little bit more subtle, and I think when we get to the sugya of Meir, we'll have more to say about this, because definitely here it would have gone a little bit of a different way. Again, just to quote the way he puts it. So Chazal do say that there is a concept here of Yaakov's tefillah, that Yaakov got to the place where his avos had been, and they had davened, and therefore he felt he has to daven also. So what does that then teach? So this is a tefillah that is neither of the previous two types, but rather is provoked by outside stimuli. So okay, they're here, I'm in a place where tefillah has happened by my ancestors, therefore I should also daven. So that's a different category. So there are different types of tefillos that are being put on the table by the avos.
Or does that have to do correspond to chakras mincha?
So not necessarily inherently. That you wouldn't necessarily see that any one of those tefillos is certainly a different spin than the Maharal spin, where there's something inherent about those tefillos that corresponds to that. Here, it's not that. It's that each tefillah has something that correlates to the personalities, but it wouldn't necessarily have that extra geschmack to it that we can tie it into the Shacharis Mechamar component. What I said before, that I think I'll come back to the whole Yaakov personal aspects. I think there is more you can say about the Meir part of it. We'll save that for Tefillas Arba Shoshos, and we'll revisit that point at some point in the future. But what do we have so far? So we have either each tefillah having its own schus that comes from its time of day and that also correlates to the way it was expressed by the individual levels, or another suggestion that each tefillah has its own type of relationship with God and its type of external context that defines it, and therefore the avos were contributing different expressions of tefillah. But there is also the possibility that it's about timing. So if it's about timing, so it's not necessarily radically different than the first interpretation, but just a little bit more generally. Want to comment about that?
Yeah, I have a question on that.
Yeah.
If it's about the timing, what are the obvious added timing that we wouldn't have had anyways from the korbanos, if we're going to need to use the korbanos anyways?
Yeah, or go the other way around, right? So what did the korbanos add if the avos came first with the timing? So
the end time. What did the korbanos add? The end time?
Sorry?
The avos would just be the start time. The korbanos add the end time.
Or it's more limited one way or another. The korbanos time is more restricted.
Yeah. Yes. Korbanos would have musaf, no?
Yes, a musaf seems to be on a separate cycle one way or another, right? So that's also true. But even within Shacharis Mincha Maariv, so what do the korbanos add if the avos added a time element? So let's think about that for a moment. So there could be some truth to this, that the avos were telling us about tefillos at different times of day, which is a little bit of a variation on the Maharal's explanation. If you look in the Sefer Merkavas HaMishnah, so I don't know how many Chelm jokes you've heard in your life. So Chelm has a reputation for people not being that bright. Merkavas HaMishnah single-handedly destroys that reputation, because he was actually from Chelm, and he was really smart. So yeah, if you read the Merkavas HaMishnah, he definitely does not fit the Chelm stereotype, but he was from Chelm, And the Rekevus of Mishnah has Sefer and the Rambam. And this comment is very brief, but he essentially has a formulation there, a brief formulation in his Sefer on the Rambam. You can look it up. If you look it up, you may get a little stymied because the way the Sefer is organized, it starts over. So you look in the front and like, hey, there's nothing here. And then you have to look again in the back and you find in Hilchos Tefila that there it is. But he, I can send it out if anybody's interested. I could send it out on the chat, a picture of it. So it's just really one paragraph. So he says that essentially the Ovos established the time zone. And the specific rigidity of the exact parameters came from the Korbanos. So the notion of morning, afternoon, night that Shachar's Mincha Ma'ariv represents, that's where the Avos came in. And Avram giving us a morning tefillah, Yitzchak a afternoon tefillah, and Yaakov a Ma'ariv tefillah. And you can put this together with the Maharal's extra aspect of what each time does for us. And the Korbanos put it into a more precise time framework. Now, even with that, you still need another step. Lev?
Where did the original time in the Korbanos come from?
So that, we see, is subject to a discussion in the Gemara, both here and in Kachin. So what it's based on is also something that we'll try to fill in a little bit. But it also is going to tell us a little bit about what we're looking for here. So we need to still fill in another step. So what's going on here? So, okay, I need the Korbanos just to get more specific. So it seems that if we could flesh that a little bit more, and here I'm drawing from bits and pieces of what it says in different Svarim. Want to comment about that?
Wouldn't the Korbanos show that you do all three each day? If you just learn it from the elbow, say, not necessarily all three each day.
Okay, that's an interesting point. Or also, again, coming from the Chiyuv component. Okay?
Because she's doing Korbanos as a Ma'ariv.
Right, so the nature of the Korban, there's the Tmid, there's the Hector Lachalavim Baivarim, which is associated with the Korbanos, but it does create a different kind of concept for Ma'ariv. So not there's no Ma'ariv, but there's a different model
for
it.
One opinion,
no? It's a different model. So it comes out that it's not going to be the same kind of Chiyuv, which may explain the Rishus thing, but then that gets into its own discussion. So we'll get to that in the Ma'ariv Sugya. So what exactly is the difference between these two? So again, so taking a little bits and pieces here, it seems that even giving the Zman component to both, to the Avos and to the Korbanos, there is a duality here, that the Avos are coming for our sake and essentially telling us that we have a concept of a tefillah that we can make use of for our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu that is tied in to the special qualities of different times of day. So the notion of a morning tefillah, of an afternoon tefillah, of a Ma'ariv tefillah, for our sake, if you want to benefit from your relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in a morning dika way, and we've seen a little bit of what that could mean, so Avraham Avinu brought that into the world. In a mincha dika way, Yitzchak gave us that. The notion of the Korbanos, that the time itself creates a chiyuv for us, and that that is an avoda. And the concept of avoda shebaleiv, coming from the other direction, that this is telling us what we need to do in response to the time, as a obligation, that's a message that you see from the Korbanos. And that's where Chazal were responding to that cue and legislating to match that. And therefore, they took the rules from the rules of the Karbanos in terms of its time.
Can you repeat that?
So the idea that there is an obligation that comes at us externally, that is a certain time of day, and you have to do something in response to that time of day, that's a notion that comes from the Karbanos. And Chazal looked to the Karbanos and said, we are going to legislate in response to that model. So the concept of the Tfilos as an opportunity for us that has some connection to the different times of day, that came from the Avos. And the idea that each time creates an obligation, that came from the Karbanos, and Chazal legislated in response to that model. Now this creates some interesting things for us. And I saw a nice discussion of this through some serendipity. Guys in my normal share know I like the word synergy when just things happen to come together at random times. So right before we started this man, so my sister-in-law and brother-in-law made a bris. Thank you. And so this was last Wednesday. Right? So you know how there are certain svarim that you only see in random shuls. So I went to a shul to go to this bris, and I saw a sefer that I've never seen before in my life ever since. But I was looking at it while waiting for the bris to start. And it has a very nice hakdama to Maseches Brachos, where it talks about what I'm about to share with you. So the sefer is called Yafa Lulev. And here's also the synergy and serendipity. So if I'm correct, I recognize the name of the author. The name of the author was Yosef Pinchas Levinson, which name Pinchas Levinson I only had heard once before in one place, many, many years ago, where I read an article by him that I've been quoting ever since, because I liked it very much, but a totally different topic. And it happened to have quoted in the Chabura the night before. It's the only other Torah I knew from him. So then the next morning, I happened to come across the Sefer and see this. I'm going to share with you now the basic approach that he was discussing there. So there is what seems to be a little bit of a dual structure when it comes to tefillah, and you find it also when it comes to Kriyat Shema. And I gave you some sources this morning to illustrate that. So, for example, you find that when it comes to tefillah, so our Gemara overtly, in introducing the whole concept of Tashlumin that we're going to, God willing, get to soon, probably not today, but we'll make up for it soon. So the Gemara draws a distinction between what seems to be a strange distinction, is the difference between Schar Tzvila and Schar Tzvila Bezvana. Now what does that mean? Right? There's a difference between Tzvila and Tzvila in its time. So he draws a parallel there based on Rishonim, that there's a similar idea, and I gave you some of the Rishonim this morning to see if you had a chance, that there's a similar idea when it comes to Kriyat Shema. The Gemara doesn't make it obvious, but some Rishonim seem to be saying this. When it comes to Kriyat Shema, so you have the idea that there's a Sof Shema in Kriyat Shema, which is 3 hours of the day, and the Sof Shema Tefillah, which gives you another halachic hour. So it's 4 hours in the day. We paskin. So machlokas, as you know, in our Mishnah. But Tefillah Sashachar ad chasos, and Yehuda Omer ad arba shos. So we paskin ad arba shos. So that's the first line of our Mishnah. So we assume that that's Zman Tefillah, 4 hours. And Zman Kriyat Shema is 3 hours. So the Mishnah and Daf Tes says that after 3 hours is the expiration time for Kriyat Shema, but if you read after that, lo hifsid, you didn't lose out. So what does that mean, you didn't lose out? That's after Zman Kriyat Shema. So one explanation the Gemara gives is lo hifsid habrachos. You didn't lose out on the brachos. So why shouldn't you lose the brachos? It's weird. I mean, if the mitzvah is finished, so then isn't that a bracha levatala? So one explanation, and probably the more common explanation people think of when they see that Gemara, they're holding a little bit in the topic, and if you learned the first parak, so maybe the guys in Torah Shraga might be a little bit more familiar with this, but there's a whole discussion how to relate to Birchos Kriyat Shema, and many of the Rishonim, the Rashba, and others understand that Birchos Kriyat Shema are not Birchos HaMitzvah in the traditional sense. They're not a bracha on Kriyat Shema. They are tfilos that Chazal instituted to accompany Kriyat Shema, and therefore they follow the rules of tefillah. So even if Shema is over, but tefillah isn't, so you still get to say Berchos Kriyat Shema as long as tefillah is still in play. So if that's the understanding, fine. So the reason you can still say Berchos Kriyat Shema for another hour is because they follow tefillah rules instead of Kriyat Shema rules. But the Ramban says a little differently. And the Ramban says that the standard for Kriyat Shema, which is Shchivo Kima, nighttime Kriyat Shema, V'shachbucha, V'kamecha in the morning. So we restrict Kriyat Shema based on Kima, the time that people are getting up in the morning. So it stops after 3 hours, is the understanding. But says the Ramban, afterwards, it's still a little bit Zman Kima. So it's like a quasi Zman Kriyat Shema. So you get an extra hour, even though you missed Zman Kriyat Shema, but you have an extra hour where you can still make the bracha. It's still acceptable. It's a very unusual model. I mean, what in the world does that mean? That the mitzvah, it's no longer sukkahs, but there is an extra 2 days when you can take a lulav and make a bracha. What would that mean? Very hard to understand the idea. If you follow the more common idea that it's because Birchos Kriyat Shema is about tefillah, it fits very nicely. If it's about something else, a little bit of a Zman Kima, what's going on? Well,
maybe Gula Tefillah.
So, aspect, so it could be, but then that again connects it more to tefillah.
Well, the Ramban doesn't say anything about tefillah.
See, he's saying that there's an extension in the Kima concept. So what does that mean? So
Kriyat Shema is like tefillah?
In some way, but how is it?
You don't get the Zmana mitzvah, but you get the Zmana percent.
So who says that?
Rashi
Zakhtar. Who else? I sent you something this morning that says something like that. Yor Zeruah says that, right? Yor Zeruah, in that one line in the end, says that the line in our parak about Schar Tfila, the Zmana you don't get, but Schar Tfila you do get. It's the same idea by Kriyat Shema, even though the Gemara doesn't use that exact formulation, but that's the same idea. You have the same concept.
So why is the Gemara saying Talmud Torah? Talmud Torah is not...
Yeah, so but that goes Kriyat all day. Right? So that's the Gemara explaining that you would have thought that that means that on some level. But you can't make Birchos Kriyat Shema in the middle of the day after Chatzos. So this idea of Birchos Kriyat Shema that you get for that extra hour, so what does that mean? So you would have thought it's tied into tefillah, that's how some of the Rishonim understand, but this notion in the Ramban, what's that coming from? So this distinction, apparently the Or Zeruah is saying, you have for both tefillah and for Kriyat Shema, that there's a concept of Schar Bizmana and Schar not Bizmana. So, what is that? What's going on? There are two tiers here. What exactly does that reflect? So, what he suggests over there is that what you see from the Mekabes HaMishnah and others and the whole dual structure is that there is a concept of tefillah as a thing where it's meaningful and it wouldn't be considered a bracha levatala if you said it, and similar to Kriyat Shema where you could say Kriyat Shema with a bracha and it wouldn't be a bracha levatala. And then there's a separate concept of the Chiyuv Tefillah, or the Chiyuv Kriyat Shema, which is more restricted. And how could it be that you could have these two separate things? Yeah, right? Because the Avos instituted the concept of Tefillah, each one on its own. And that's Mishum Rachmanis. So Tefillah as Rachmanis, and as this general idea, and each type of Tefillah that was brought into the world by the Avos. And that means that it exists as a meaningful thing. And that means that there's a concept of Tefillah Shel Shachar that exists in the morning as a meaningful concept. Hi.
What does that mean, after Shachar? There still would be an end zman, according to Avos.
Yes, correct.
So now, past that zman, you still wouldn't get schar.
Yes.
Tefillah either.
Correct, and we'll see about that in a second. You're right. Now, here he's drawing this distinction, which seems to emerge here, and that's what these two tiers are, that the Avos created this concept of these meaningful tefillos, but at the same time, coming from the other direction, the Karbanos teach us that the Chiyuv Avoda of every time creates an obligation, and we need to be responsive to that obligation within its time frame. So that's where the Zman Tefillah comes from. So ideally, we will respond to the Zman Tefillah and do what that takes. Hi.
So does the concept of Tefillah Sadava come from Avos?
Not exactly. That has its own source. It's worthy of a whole other discussion. So God willing, let's talk about that separately. So the notion of each Tefillah in its own time, so that, as a concept, the Avos bring into the world. But on top of that, the Karbanos teach us that each time is mechayiv its own avoda, and lechachila, ideally, we need to be responsive to that obligation. But if we fail to be responsive to that obligation, there may still be the notion of the tefillah outside of that. So that's what the Gemara means with this mysterious line, that Schar Tzvila Bizmana you didn't get. That which comes from the Karbanos, putting it in this particular framework, you didn't have. But Schar Tzvila you still have, meaning the words are still something, it's not a Bracha Levatala, because what the Avos contributed to us is still there. It just didn't fit within the framework that Chazal imposed based on the Karbanos. Hi.
According to Tanakama, there would be no distinction between Karbanos and the Avos because they end at the same time anyways.
Perhaps. Now, that's an interesting question. Now, let's go, actually, to your previous point from a minute ago. Now, you had a chance, maybe didn't see this necessarily if you didn't finish the list this morning, but the Rambam has a unusual psak. So if anyone did get a chance to see this, did anyone finish our list? What is the Rambam Paskin regarding Shachris?
Is that extra half an hour?
So actually, he doesn't talk about the extra half hour, which is something the Mefarshim has tried to
combine.
Sorry?
Two
yes.
Shittas.
Yes, he seems to combine the two Shittas. How? Yes, explain.
It just says that.
Okay.
Yeah,
combine the two voices. Trekol and Mishdamah.
You got it.
Yeah, okay. See, I'm basically making sure you get built right here. Yeah?
Rabbi Yehuda says it's only until Dalek Shavuos, and there's
right.
No such thing as davening after that. And
that's what it sounds like.
Right.
You're not saying the Rambam yet.
There's still the period between Dalek Shavuos and Chatzos.
So that's the Rambam.
Yeah.
Right. So the problem from our mission, it sounds like we have two. Is that right? So from our mission, it sounds like we have two separate opinions that got nothing to do with each other. You have Rabbi Yehuda who says you have 4 hours. And you have Chachamim who say you have till Chatzos. And the Rambam seems to paskin like both on some level. And the Rambam says that you have to ideally daven Shacharis before 4 hours. And if not, then you have till Chatzos. So in those Kalim try to figure out, where does he get Chatzos from? If he's postulating like Rabbi Yehuda, so then Chatzos doesn't come into the equation. Chatzos was the view of the other people. It was the view of Chachamim. So if he's saying 4 hours, so then what reason is there to bring Chatzos into the discussion? And the Beis Yosef gets involved over here and says, well, in general, we want to keep machlokas as minimal as possible. Well, it's a good slogan for life. Keep fighting as minimal as possible. So probably Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim have to agree that there's some significance to Chatzos. And Rabbi Yehuda goes further and says that really it should be before 4 hours. But you still need to explain that if that's true and where that comes from. It doesn't sound that way. So what is going on here? Where does the Rambam get this two-tier system from? So it sounds like, yeah. So that is what he's saying, that it's not chila b'di'aved, but still, where does he get the marker from? Right? Where does he get the idea that chatzos is significant? Ah, so it sounds like that's what's going on. Now, l'maisa, just to give us some framework here, l'maisa, what we're talking about, as we're about to get into the topic of Tashlumin, so we treat the period after 4 hours as a Tashlumin for Shacharis. So you missed Shacharis after 4 hours, you can do Tashlumin in that time. And that if it was the afternoon already, so then you have to daven Mincha first. We'll get into that whole sugya about the issue of ordering. But at the time in between 4 hours in Chatzos, Mincha hasn't come in yet, so then you just have the opportunity to make up Shacharis. If it was later in the afternoon, you'd have to daven Mincha first and then do Shacharis afterwards. And that's where the Nosei Kalim say, well, hold on a second, if the issue is we're just talking about the fact that Mincha hasn't come in yet, and that's what the Rambam is just discussing, that he really means to say that you could daven Shacharis any time after 4 hours as a Tashlumin, and we're just saying that we're talking about when Mincha isn't a factor yet, so then don't say Chatzos, say a half hour after Chatzos. So that's where the Nosei Kalim try to figure out, well, maybe it's not so precise, maybe he means to say Chatzos in a half hour. So that's a part of that whole discussion. But apparently, maybe he means Chatzos specifically. So the suggestion here is that yes, there is a significance to Chatzos in and of itself. And that these are the two tiers here. That on the one hand, there's Tefillah B'Zmanah, that's Keneged HaKorbanos. And that's the 4 hour limit. But if you don't get the 4 hour limit, you still have Tefillah as Rachmanis, which is what the Avos gave. And like the Merkevas HaMishnah said, that what the Avos gave in the sense of Shacharis, Avram instituted a notion of Tefillah Shel Shachar. So when is Tefillah Shel Shachar? The morning. Until Chatzos, you have Avraham Avinu's Tefillah Shel Shachar. So you can still get that, and that's what the Rambam is picking up on. And the concept of Tefillah Bizmana, that's what comes from the Korbanos, and that's where you have a 4 hour limit. So it's a very elegant structure here, and the notion of these different factors coming in and out of each other and interacting and synergizing with each other is going to be a major part of the foundation that allows the making up of one for the other that we call Teshlumen. And will also be relevant to the question of three tefillos a day, which we'll also have to start a little bit tomorrow. I gave you, if you got to the end of the list, a little bit of Matara supplies lost in the beginning, so you shall me. It was a rush, so we'll talk about that a little bit, God willing, tomorrow. So, a lot to fill in. So just to quickly recap what we spoke about today, the break. So, we spoke about the fact that we need to explain what the contribution of the Avos is, especially because we don't know what it would be otherwise. There's no Chiyuv, and technical reasons also relate to that because they have no ability to be mechayiv, and there's no text. So what was it they gave us? And we also need to know what the karbanos are because to say that, well, we need to fill in the lack of authority of the Avos, but why can't the Chazal come and make the Takana based on the Avos? Why do they need the Karbanos? So we mentioned a few theories as to the unique contribution of the Avos, the Maral's theory that it's based on the different challenges of each time of day, the Dibner Magid that has to do with what's going on in their lives, and the Merkavis of Mishnah that it has to do with just the time zones in the day, which could correlate back to the first idea. And then we talked about how these possibilities all come together to say that the Avos gave us the concept based on Rachmanis that there is a power to tap into in each of these zones to relate to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Karbanos teach us that there's a Chiyuv of Avoda that correlates to different times that Chazal responded to with legislation. And the idea of Schar Tefillah Bizmana and Schar Tefillah otherwise correlates to these two ideas, Schar Tefillah Bizmana to the model of the Karbanos, and Schar Tefillah without that to the Rachmanos of the Avos. And that could explain the distinction that's there as well as in Kriyat Shema. And for us more specifically, the Rambam's distinction where he seems to take both Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda into account, and saying that Rabbi Yehuda is the bottom line on one level of 4 hours, but that there's still relevance to Chatzos. So perhaps that's the idea, that the first is the Karbanos model of Chiyuv, and the second is the Avos model of Rachmanis, and they all come together, and more applications of that, God willing, we will see tomorrow. Should have a wonderful